The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, November 2nd, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and it's got to be 4 days until Election Day. Can you believe it? We are just 4 days away from legalizing marijuana in the United States of America, and we're going to bring it all to you live on Tuesday, November 6th, Marijuana Election Night, right here at RadicalRust.com and TheWeedBlog.com. We'll be coming to you from 4 p.m. Pacific to 10 p.m. Pacific as the polls close from East Coast to West Coast. Get the latest information on the marijuana election results right here at RadicalRust.com. We'll have live reporters at the campaign headquarters of all the states that are voting on medical marijuana and marijuana legalization, including our news director, Kerry Gallagher, who'll be joining us from Denver, Colorado. Hello, Kerry.
I'm so excited. I think Denver being the first state in that time zone before we get to the West Coast, I'm hoping it'll be the first one to legalize marijuana.
Yeah, you'll have a 2-hour head start on us. So you'll have the distinction of being in the first legalized state in the world to legalize marijuana. How exciting is that?
It's amazing. I can't wait. I hope it all turns out in our favor. But we'll be bringing you, regardless of all the turnouts, we'll be bringing it to you live on election night. So we should probably just go to bed now and rest up, right, Russ?
Yeah, a lot of preparation work to do, I tell you. Carrie's got our news headlines for us right after the first break. What's in the headlines today, Carrie?
Today I want to tell you about the opponents against that Arkansas medical marijuana measure. I'm going to tell you that they're getting sued. I'll tell you what that's all about. Also, we're going to talk... I think we're not going to do the Detroit story. You have a Mexican story for us about the drug cartels. And also I'm going to take you to Pittsburgh, where a police officer had some marijuana in their car. I'm going to tell you all about that and see if they'll get in trouble for that.
All right. For behind the headlines today, we're going to take a look at what I am calling the No on I-502 pledge. I am challenging all opponents to Initiative 502 to take a very, very specific pledge. Then at 20 after, we've got our Rockin' Friday Daily Toker Tunes. Herb Thrasher will be dialing in. He's got some new music for us from Freedom Hawk. Then at half past the hour, I've got coverage of this morning's Oregon Measure 80 legalization press conference featuring women who have worked in law enforcement and our own friend Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana. Then at the end of the show, time for a little radical rant. Esquire has named its two great prohibitionists of 2012. You'll never believe who one of them is. Stick around.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow.
streets, put it in a store. We can make it harder for the teens to buy, sell it like a bottle of wine. Jobs for our people, money for schools, who could ask for more? Strict regulation, fund education, yes on 64.
Children! My God! Won't somebody think of the children?
If you're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana and the next thing you know they got 10 years, they've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, it's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the President, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and that's not a good thing.
You know we're winning. And now it's time for our 420 headline news with our news editor, Carrie Gallagher.
Thanks, Russ. The opponents of a medical marijuana initiative on the ballot in Arkansas are being sued for defamation over their use of a product during a news conference. Two companies that manufacture marijuana vending machines have filed federal defamation lawsuits against the Arkansas Family Council. They are seeking a judge's order to force the AFC to stop using the image of their machines in their negative attack ads. Jerry Cox, the Arkansas Family Council director, is also named in that suit. Cox has led the opposition to Issue 5, the citizen initiative that, if passed, would allow some people to with qualifying medical conditions to be allowed to grow a small number of plants or purchase medical marijuana at a regulated dispensary. Jerry Cox held up a cardboard cutout of a MedBox marijuana vending machine where he had pasted a large green marijuana leaf onto during a press conference. This was on Tuesday, saying that this shows what is in store for Arkansas and that people would be able to get marijuana whether they had a medical condition or not, charging that the machines could easily be set up at convenience stores. Medical Dispensing Systems Incorporated is seeking compensatory and punitive damages. Now, one of those motions was denied, but the judge has agreed to schedule a hearing on the other count of defamation. The company also wants a temporary restraining order blocking Cox or the group from using that image and claiming the machine is linked to illicit drug use. The company says they will pursue this case regardless of the outcome of Tuesday's election. Police in Pittsburgh are investigating how a bag of marijuana ended up in an unmarked police car after it was in a private shop being detailed through a city contract. The unmarked police car was issued to the Bureau's top narcotics supervisor, Commander Cheryl Doubts, after a detective left her car overnight in the care of the private cleaning company that the police have not yet named. Before dropping the car off, Detective Covington had removed Commander Doubts' personal items and placed loose compact discs in the console. The detective said that is how he knew there was no marijuana in the console when he dropped it off. When the detective, along with Sergeant Tracy, picked up the car on October 4th, however, they found a baggie of marijuana in that console. Commander Doubt's direct supervisor, Assistant George Trosky, said he did not believe the drugs belonged to her or any other police officer. He also speculated that maybe someone knew the vehicle belonged to the police bureau, possibly left the marijuana in an effort to be funny, but instead created a situation that could have cost someone a job. He said that anyone detailing the car would not have known that it was the commander's, but it would have known that it belonged to a Pittsburgh police narcotics officer. As a commander, she's one of the most powerful officers in the bureau, outranked only by the five chiefs. She has not discussed the specifics of the situation, but the supervisor says if nothing else, it's going to change the way they interact with private companies.
Thank you, Carrie. And news now from the Mexican Institute for Competitiveness, which has issued a report claiming that the legalization of marijuana in Washington, Oregon, or Colorado could cost Mexican drug trafficking cartels up to 30% of their profits and reduce American marijuana prices by half. The report contends that 40% to 67% of American demand for marijuana is sated by Mexican marijuana that is relatively low in THC content. Marijuana is a $2 billion business to the Mexican cartels, second only to the $2.4 billion made from cocaine. The report states that the creation of a legal cannabis market in the United States has the potential to displace the Mexican marijuana traffic. Given that Americans produce higher quality marijuana than Mexicans, and that production in and distribution from an American state will be far cheaper than the distance and security risks of bringing it across the U.S.-Mexico border, the cost of American marijuana could be up to half that of Mexican marijuana. The results of even one state legalizing would be devastating to the Mexican cartels. Legalization in Washington or Colorado would cut into about 23% of the Mexican cartels' profits. Oregon's Measure 80, which is far more liberal than Washington and Colorado's initiative, would cut into 30% of their profits. Seedy, low-potency Mexican marijuana just cannot compete with high-potency American sensimilia when prohibition controls are removed. If Washington State were to legalize marijuana, the price of marijuana would drop from 25% to 75% everywhere in the United States except the Mexican border states. Legalization in Washington, Colorado, or Oregon would cost the Mexican drug cartels 22%, 23.5%, or 30% of their profits, respectively. And that is your 420 headline news for today, Friday, November 2nd, 2012. When we return, we will go behind the headlines to take a look at the opposition to Washington State's Initiative 502 for legalization and ask those opponents to take a very special pledge. This is the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
We're not looking to end beer summits at the White House or change the way people behave on the campaign trail. We just believe adults, in the privacy of their homes, should be allowed to use marijuana instead of alcohol if that's what they prefer. 40 years ago, our government launched an irrational war on marijuana for reasons unrelated to the actual and limited harms of the substance. It's time for a more sensible approach. It's time to regulate marijuana, paid for by the campaign to regulate marijuana like.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze if you've ever been too high.
Welcome back, everyone. It's 14 after the hour, and for today's Behind the Headlines segment, I was just reminded this morning of a great scene in a Quentin Tarantino movie that's called Inglourious Basterds. And there's a character there, the Nazi hunter, who's portrayed by Brad Pitt. His name's Lieutenant Aldo Raine. And there's a scene where he's using his knife, his Bowie knife, to carve a swastika scar into the forehead of the Nazi, Colonel Hans Landa, that he was releasing. And his reasoning was basically that Landa had made this deal and would be able to go retire and live in relative splendor and riches. And when he did so, he was going to be able to take off his SS Nazi uniform, and no one would ever know how much he contributed to the death and destruction that was brought about by Hitler and the Nazi regime. And so that's what Aldo Raine would do, is carve a swastika in the forehead of all the Nazis that he caught, so that for the rest of their lives, they would have that swastika scar, because he just could not abide by the notion of him taking off the uniform and not having to answer for all that death and destruction. So I was thinking about that today as I was reading an Esquire piece on that great prohibitionist, Steve Sarich of Canacare. Here he is pouring time and money into being the only organized opposition to marijuana legalization, proudly sporting that red No on I-502 t-shirt, and come November 7th, after I-502 wins, he'll be able to take off that t-shirt. And come December 6th, should the state license commercial marijuana take off, he could not only walk into any of the newly legal weed stores to purchase legal marijuana, he could try to become a state licensed grower, processor, or retailer to make money off I-502. Now look, I don't mean to equate opposition to 502 to the abominations of Nazi Germany. And I also don't think it's a good policy to carve swastikas into people's foreheads for later identification. However, I do think that all the people who smoke pot and have been so vocal about defeating I-502 owe the rest of us healthy pot smokers a pledge to put their money where their mouth is. So to Steve Sarich, Steve Elliott, Philip Doughty, Doug Hyatt, Jeff Steinborn, Kerry Boyder, Anthony Martinelli, and all the various commenters who show up on every blog piece about I-502 to spew their prohibition-supporting rhetoric, I call on all of them to take the No on I-502 pledge. So if you're listening to me now and you're going to vote against legalization, if you're going to vote the same way as the drug czar, raise your right hand and repeat after me. Whereas the passage of Initiative 502 in Washington State to legalize an ounce of marijuana and institute state-licensed commercial marijuana operations is, quote, bad law and will not pass. Whereas the passage of I-502 will, quote, throw patients under the bus. And whereas the passage of I-502 is, quote, not true legalization, I, state your name, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will take no profit from Initiative 502 when it passes on November 6th, 2012. I will never enter a Washington State licensed recreational marijuana store. I will never become a state licensed grower, processor, or retailer of recreational marijuana. I will never write a review for a newspaper for a Washington State licensed recreational marijuana store. I will never smoke any marijuana that came from a Washington State licensed grower, processor, or retailer. And if I am ever in an encounter with law enforcement and I have less than an ounce of marijuana in my possession, I will donate what would have been the misdemeanor fine to charity and what would have been the 24-hour mandatory minimum jail stay I will perform as hours of community service. Now, to be fair, I'm sure they'll want some sort of return pledge from us to cover all that devastation that's going to be wrought because of the per se DUID standard. So, all you pro I-502 voters, raise your right hand and take the yes on I-502 pledge. Whereas the passage of Initiative 502 in Washington State to legalize an ounce of marijuana and institute state-licensed commercial marijuana operations has made a concession on marijuana-impaired driving that's not consistent with actual impairment. Whereas some medical marijuana patients fear I-502 will mean the end of their driving privileges. Whereas marijuana prohibition has to end somewhere, and I-502 is our best hope to date to do that. I, state your name, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will, for 1 month, chauffeur any marijuana consumer convicted of a 5 nanogram per se DUID. I will also pay the court costs and attorney fees of any marijuana consumer convicted of a 5 nanogram per se DUID. However, to prove the marijuana consumer would not have been convicted of a DUID anyway without 502, the marijuana consumer must provide evidence of a Washingtonian who was acquitted of a DUID with the same nanogram per milliliter reading entered into trial evidence before I-502. Furthermore, for every marijuana consumer who beats a DUID charge when they have less than 5 nanograms THC in their blood, we subtract 1 day from the chauffeur duties penalty. There you go. That's the pledge. It's up on my blog at RadicalRust.com. Take the No on I-502 pledge. Put your money where your mouth is. If you really believe this is going to be the end of medical marijuana as we know it, it's going to lead to devastation, it's going to lead to patients being thrown under the bus, put your money where your mouth is and commit right now that you will not take a single dime of profit in any way whatsoever from the commercial marijuana industry that is set up after I-502. You cannot in good conscience be a part of that. You cannot in any way make money from that without being the biggest hypocrite on the planet. But then again, you're calling yourself supporters of legalization and you're voting against legalization. That ship's already sailed. Yeah, I'm riled up today, folks. Stick around. It's going to get better. We got some video coming up from Measure 80, their press conference today. We've also got a radical rant on Steve Sarich, one of those prohibitionists who needs to take the pledge. Be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I don't like it personally, but it's time for a conversation about legalizing marijuana. It's a multi-million dollar industry in Washington State, and we get no benefit. What if we regulate it? Have background checks for retailers, stiff penalties for selling to minors. We could tax it to fund schools and healthcare, free up police to go after violent crime instead. And we would control the money, not the gangs. Let's talk about a new approach, legalizing and regulating marijuana.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different, something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, time for our Daily Toker Tunes and our good friend Herb Thrasher, who's been called out by Shaq. I understand Shaq's on your case, man.
Dude, Shaq is going down tomorrow, dude. I've already been talking to him, and we've got whoever wins is going to buy each other dinner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great, man. LSU-Bama this weekend in the college football slate. So, lots of good games coming up this weekend.
Yeah, this is a big-time weekend in the college football world, and we'll talk about that some tonight in Hour 2 on Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. In Hour 1, we've got a great guest, man. We've had Mark Hunter from Chimera on before about a year ago, and somehow he's been able to keep his band going with all the defections. We're going to find out how he's been able to do this, find out about their new stuff coming out next year, and we're going to talk to him about this whole Washington, Colorado, and Oregon thing coming at it from an outside the cannabis community kind of person. He's real into politics and just smart like that, well-read, so he'd be a great person to talk to.
All right, check that out tonight. Friday nights, we have Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock Pacific time. We got the best in rock and metal and interviews and all sorts of cool stuff. So we'll be here tonight. It'll be a good time.
Excited, man. Excited to see you. And today on Rockin' Friday, it seems like a good thing. November 3rd in Boston, any of you guys on the East Coast there, one of the record labels that we really love to support and supports us, that's Small Stone Records. They have a Boston showcase tomorrow night, and basically it's about 10 bands, and all the bands are Small Stone Record bands, and so they're going to be premiering their bands, and there's some great bands playing that we play all the time, like Freedom Hawk and Lord Fowl and Infernal Overdrive, and so just some great stuff. And so on that note, we thought Freedom Hawk would be a good band to bring in. They're playing tomorrow night. I think they have the 8 p.m. set. And this song is Bandito, and these guys are from Virginia. And just heavy riffs, man, a lot of rolling grooves and a lot of great guitar melodies. And they really play the stuff that some can say this has a southern rock kind of feel as well. And as we said, they're on Small Stone Records, also Meteor City Records. And you can find these guys on Facebook. They have a great Facebook page, and they're pretty active. They're constantly posting videos and talking with fans and stuff, and they also have a website. and four dudes, man. And so check them out. Check us out tonight on Herb Thrash Flower Hour, Oregon. Make sure you guys get your ballots in. No more mail-in. And Radical Russ, I'm glad you're on this 3 o'clock time again.
Yeah, it's a good time to be rocking here in the late afternoon. I hope it works out good for everyone. Ready for it?
All right.
Let's turn it up. Turn it up. Rocking out.
Rock this on, guys.
Freedom Hawk with Bandito.
Running down my back, the smell alone will give you a heart attack. Nothing to do, take off my shoes and let the wind blow. Glance back in the mirror, I see the smoke begin to rise.
Our ballots came in the mail today. I can't wait to cast my vote for Measure 80.
Measure 80? Is that the one to legalize marijuana? I don't know about that.
Why not? Marijuana is far safer than alcohol.
I know that, but I worry about kids smoking pot.
It's easier for kids to buy pot than beer because clerks check for proper ID.
Sure, but what about stone drivers?
We've had medical marijuana for 14 years, and yet our traffic safety stats are better now than before medical marijuana.
Okay, but what about people coming in stoned to work?
Come on now, honey. Oregon's workplaces are safer than ever, and we have over 50,000 medical marijuana patients. Nothing about Measure 80 prevents employers from maintaining drug-free workplaces. I know change is scary, but Oregon really needs jobs and tax revenue, and Measure 80 will provide them.
Okay, safer for kids and tax revenue for our state? Makes sense to me. I'm voting yes on Measure 80.
Paid for by Oregonians for Law Reform, OregonLawReform.com.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, Half Past here. And this morning, I was out at Lounsdale Square in Portland, Oregon, the downtown park that was made famous by the Occupy movement. The Occupy Portland went down there. And there was a press conference today from the Measure 80 campaign featuring women who, many of them were involved in law enforcement and law itself, and of course, parenting. So we're going to play that video for you now. This is from this morning, the Measure 80 Women's Press Conference.
Thank you guys for being here this morning. Very much appreciate you coming out. The purpose of this morning's press conference and event is really to talk about the impact that Measure 80, which would regulate and tax marijuana similar to how we manage and regulate liquor in the state of Oregon, would not only benefit the state of Oregon, make our community safer and our kids safer, but according to a new study that came out yesterday by a leading think tank, would actually take a massive bite out of the profits of Mexico's very, very dangerous, very deadly drug cartels. So today we have a collection of former public safety professionals, law enforcement officers, probation and corrections officers. I have a statement that I'll be reading a little bit later from a 23-year veteran of the Milwaukee Police Department about his point of view on the importance of ending prohibition of marijuana. So we'll hear from each of the speakers about their point of view. Why is it so important as a mother, as a law enforcement professional, as an Oregonian to support Measure 80 and to end marijuana prohibition here in the state of Oregon? So here joining us today, we have Ann Witte, who is a practicing attorney, a criminal defense attorney, and a member of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. We have Sarah Frank. Sarah is the founder of Moms for Marijuana International, an advocacy group of mothers concerned about the damage prohibition has done to our society. Behind me, we have Madeline Martinez. Madeline is representing law enforcement against prohibition and Oregon Normal as well, and a former corrections guard in a women's maximum security prison in California. And then we have Casey Hansen, who's a former police officer from Lawrence, Kansas, and for identification purposes is the chair of the Multnomah County Democratic Party. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Casey to start us off, and then we'll go from there.
I'm just going to be extremely brief. My law enforcement career in Lawrence, Kansas was short as about 6 years, and then I moved out to Oregon and worked for the Forest Service, where I was also level two law enforcement, but not a full-time cop. And my experience in Lawrence, I was on the University of Kansas, and there was use of marijuana and there was use of alcohol. And my experience there, both substances being used illegally by students up there at the time, was I saw some devastating impacts of alcohol use. I saw at least two young students, 19, 18 years old, disable themselves for their entire lives from activities with alcohol. I saw none such with marijuana. I think what we need to remember is that this is a health issue, not a law enforcement issue, and it shouldn't be a law enforcement issue. From a personal perspective, I think we also need to remember that this cycle of the drug war, 30 years of the drug war, has not produced a drug-free society by any means. What's produced is individuals that have had records that gives them a lifelong stigma, from the minimum that they can't get a driver's license to not being able to get jobs. Also, it disproportionately affects communities of color. More women, more members of the community of color are convicted and incarcerated for drug crime than any other across the nation. This has to be addressed. It is disproportionate. It's not fair to our entire community. So with that, I just would like to turn it over.
Thank you. All right. Next, we're going to hear from Ann Witte, who is a practicing attorney here in the state of Oregon. Ann?
I've been defending Washingtonians and Oregonians charged with marijuana offenses since 1974. And
I haven't seen it get any markedly better or any markedly worse as far as the penalties go. People are going to prison for it. I had a client go to get a 2-year sentence last year. And the other thing is, people say, well, less than an ounce, who needs that? You could have that much. But if you're convicted of less than an ounce, you will lose your driver's license. If you lose your driver's license, you will likely lose your job. It's possible that you will. You may lose your job without being convicted if you don't pass a drug test. This law, this war on drugs, is a war on Oregonians and Washingtonians, on U.S. citizens who use marijuana and don't harm anybody by it and are being significantly punished day after day after day right in that courthouse across from us and the courthouse behind us. Years and years of prison over marijuana. We need to put an end to it. I urge you to put an end to prohibition, finally. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. I'm going to read a statement from a police officer who was not able to be with us this morning. His name is Bruce Litchfield, and he was a member of the Milwaukee Police Department in Clackamas County for 23 years and a police officer in rural Oregon for 2 years prior to that. So this is his statement, not my words, but his. A couple of years ago, I retired after more than 25 years as a police officer. Much of that time was spent with the Metropolitan Police Department, but I also spent the early part of my career with a couple of departments in rural Oregon. Over the years, I have met many, many people. I have seen people under the influence of a lot of things. Alcohol, prescription pills, hard drugs like meth and heroin. But at no point in my quarter century as a cop did I think that marijuana use posed a serious threat to our community. I've never smoked marijuana, and when it does become legal, I don't plan to start. I have never had any interest, but I know a lot of adults who do choose to consume marijuana, and I don't call them criminals. I call them my neighbors, my family members, my friends. Almost everyone I know who chooses to use marijuana does so because they enjoy it, in the way I enjoy a good craft beer. The people I know who consume marijuana do so responsibly. The reality is, there will always be a small subset of people who abuse what others may choose to use responsibly. I've seen it with illegal and more often legal drugs, sleeping pills, pain pills, alcohol. If we're worried about abuse, we should regulate marijuana and tax it, and use the tax revenue to help pay for drug and alcohol treatment programs, and that's what Measure 80 does. That's why I've decided to vote yes on Measure 80. 7% of the tax revenues from the sale of licensed marijuana will go to fund existing drug and alcohol treatment programs in Oregon. And most of the tax revenues, 90%, will go to fund our schools and other general fund obligations. Measure 80 isn't perfect, but I've never gotten to vote for something perfect in the almost 40 years I've been a voter. Measure 80 is, however, sensible and practical. It takes the approach we've developed over decades of regulating liquor and applies it to marijuana. It's easy to understand and would definitely be more effective than what we are doing now. I know I'm not alone as a law enforcement officer supporting Measure 80. Most cops became cops to protect our communities, to go after the predators that threaten our kids and our lives. Regulating and taxing marijuana benefits the police because it allows us to focus on real public safety priorities. When adults can buy marijuana at state licensed stores, I see that action putting drug dealers and cartels out of business. They won't be able to compete with safe, convenient, market-priced marijuana. And just like home brewers, people will be able to grow for themselves. But they'll be more likely to go to the corner cannabis shop, show their identification, and buy the brand they prefer. I heard about a poll this year that said 2 in 3 Americans agree that the war on marijuana has failed. Well, I'm part of that 67%. Prohibition hasn't yet and won't ever work. It only wastes our already limited financial resources and ruins the lives of otherwise peaceful, contributing, law-abiding Oregonians. It's time for a new path for Oregon, regulating and taxing marijuana like liquor. Measure 80 is the way forward. Again, that's a statement from Bruce Litchfield of Clackamas County, Oregon. And with that, I'm going to bring up Madeline Martinez, who is here representing the national advocacy group Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
Thank you. LEAP is made up of current and former members of law enforcement and the criminal justice communities who are speaking out about the failures of our existing drug policies. These policies have failed and continue to fail to effectively address the problems of drug abuse, especially the problem of the problems of juvenile drug use and the problems of addiction and the problems of the crime caused by the existence of the criminal black market in drugs. My decade of service in the criminal justice system with the Department of Corrections, California Department of Corrections, taught me that resources are dangerously overburdened. Cannabis prohibition adds to that burden and is a growing public safety concern because it redirects vital resources away from violent crimes, murder, sexual attack, child abuse, and other serious and dangerous public safety issues. By wasting valuable time investigating and arresting otherwise law-abiding citizens. Measure 80 protects our most valuable treasures, our children, by the creation of a responsibly regulated system of safe access to cannabis, removes the drug dealer from the equation, and the reason for that is because drug dealers, they don't ask for ID. And they don't just sell marijuana. They sell a number of different drugs, and we'd like to keep our children safe. Please vote yes on Measure 80 to protect our children, grow Oregon's economy, and because prohibition is just plain unpatriotic. We have neglected our infrastructure in our state, in our country, and we need to utilize our resources, our revenue, more effectively by protecting our community in all areas of public safety. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Madeline Martinez representing Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, LEAP. Website is www.leap.cc. And last, we're going to hear from Sarah Frank, who's the founder of the national group Moms for Marijuana. Sarah, you can share a few words with us.
Thank you. I wrote it down so I don't scramble this time. Regardless of current laws, marijuana is bought and sold daily to be used by adults all over the state of Oregon. The money from these sales is not taxed and it does not contribute to our society. Oftentimes, the stability of good parents is put into question and families are torn apart, all because of marijuana use. While at the same time, other parents can freely consume legal drugs like alcohol. Everyone always asks, what about the children? Right now, it is easier for those underage to get marijuana than it is for them to get alcohol and tobacco because under a regulated system, cashiers are required to ask for identification and verify age before selling these drugs. Drug dealers on the black market do not ask for ID, and access to marijuana also means access to harder and more dangerous drugs like methamphetamine and ecstasy. Despite how easy some people think it is to get a medical marijuana card, if you are not lucky enough to be in extreme pain or to be fighting for your life, you can't get one. The current laws make it extremely difficult. There are not thousands of recreational users masquerading as medical patients just to get high. That's what they're using the black market for. And despite being the first state to decriminalize marijuana, Oregon residents who choose marijuana over alcohol still face penalties and fines. These taxpayer dollars and our community law enforcement resources still go to prosecute these nonviolent offenders. And oftentimes, these nonviolent offenders are our children, leaving them with a record that can impact their entire lives. In every war, there are victims, and the victims of the war on marijuana are not only those who are unjustly persecuted for a harmless plant. They're not just those who face losing their jobs because of a drug charge or a dirty urine test. These victims are also the families and the loved ones of these so-called criminals. Marijuana users are our friends and our family. They are also often somebody's mommy or daddy, but every single one of them is somebody's child. The war on marijuana is tearing our families apart, and it's time that we do something about this. With the passage of Measure 80, marijuana sales will be regulated and adults will have legal access to marijuana, making the black market obsolete and replacing marijuana dealers with cashiers and bartenders who, just as with alcohol sales, are required to ask for ID. Let's not forget the jobs and the new products and the revenue that will help our economy. By voting yes on Measure 80, we are voting that responsible users will no longer be committing a crime, that regulations be put into place to protect our children, and that our society finally can be able to benefit from the consumption of marijuana that, legalized or not, continues to happen and will continue to happen every day in this state. Thank you.
So to conclude, Measure 80 is an opportunity for Oregonians to take a leadership role in this nation, to demonstrate that the war on marijuana has been a war on Americans, a war on people of color, a war on the poor. It has done nothing to accomplish the objectives it was supposed to accomplish. It has not made our society safer. It has not cut down on the demand. It has not cut down on the supply. It has made organized criminals much more wealthy and much more dangerous, and it has made Americans into criminals. Measure 80 is an opportunity to tax and regulate cannabis for adults 21 and over the same way we regulate liquor, because just like alcohol prohibition failed, marijuana prohibition has failed. And we can join our neighbor states like Washington and Colorado in the mountain region and make history by regulating, taxing, and licensing marijuana for adults, and finally taking a sledgehammer to the war on drugs, beginning the movement for sensible marijuana policy here in the United States, and at the same time funding critically needed services here in our own state of Oregon. The Mexican Institute for Competitiveness study that came out this week demonstrated that if any one state legalizes and regulates marijuana, it will cut up to 30% of the drug cartel's profits. 30% for one state to be able to legalize and regulate. This isn't just an opportunity for Oregon's economy and for Oregon's public safety. This is an opportunity for Oregon to contribute to national security. So I urge everybody, whether you are a cannabis user or not, whether you care for it or not, whether you have any interest in using marijuana or not, to vote yes on Measure 80 as a matter of public safety, as a matter of national security, as a matter of common sense, and as a matter of Oregon pride in setting the way for better national policy. With that, we're happy to take any questions. Yes.
That's the conclusion of the press conference.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Be right back after these messages with some radical rant. Kids and marijuana. It's something every parent worries about. With Measure 80 on the ballot, many parents are worried about what message legalized marijuana would send to their children. While legalization seems scary, our experience with alcohol and tobacco show that regulation and education, not prohibition, are what best protect our children. Today, fewer teens drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes than when we were growing up, and that's because we passed strict ID carding regulations, put beer and cigarettes out of kids' reach, and educated them about the real harms of smoking and drinking. In fact, teen smoking and drinking are at their lowest recorded levels ever, and we didn't arrest any adults for cigarettes and beer to accomplish that. Kids consistently say that beer is harder to buy than pot. After Measure 80, marijuana is treated like alcohol. You have to be 21, you have to show ID, and you have to go to an adults-only store. The message we send to kids today is just say no, and it just doesn't work. Let's send the message that marijuana is for adults, and someday they can make that decision for themselves. Vote yes on Measure 8.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Will. I don't work at a used record store. I don't own an iguana, although I'm sure they make great pets. I don't have dreadlocks or play the acoustic guitar. I can remember quite well, thank you, and no, I don't constantly have the munchies. When 420 comes around, I've still got 40 minutes of work left. I've never hit a girl on a bike with my car or shot my friend with a shotgun. I've never had to apologize for letting a girl I was watching drown in a pool while I was getting high because, duh, I wouldn't be getting high if I was around children. I'm a regular guy who works regular jobs, just like the majority of all Americans who use marijuana occasionally and responsibly. My name is Will, and I'm normal.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Esquire magazine's politics blog has a post entitled "Introducing the Great Marijuana Prohibitionists of 2012." To begin, author John H. Richardson profiles one of the most reefer-mad non-pot smokers in America, Paul Chabot. This rehab industrial complex flack believes such war on drugs tropes like the end stage is legalization of every drug under the sun and eventually prostitution. Don't know how we jump from legalizing pot to legalizing prostitution, but as far as the other drugs go, less than 10% of voters support legalizing drugs other than marijuana. I think the top is like ecstasy is like an 8%, cocaine's like a 7%, and the more you look down the list, I think heroin's like a 2%, right? Now, might some drug people on our side be supporting ending the prohibition of all drugs? You betcha. But saying that all drugs should be legal is a big spectrum that ranges from aspirin to morphine. Okay, so we can talk about that later. What we're talking about right now is marijuana. Paul Chabot also believes only 0.7% of people are actually in prison for marijuana possession. 0.7%. Well, Esquire notes that out of our 2.6 million prison population, 0.7% equates to over 15,000 people in prison for marijuana possession, according to Paul Chabot. He also says, the marijuana I was smoking, which I have to assume was the 1980s based on his age, was 1 to 3% THC. Yeah, then someone was ripping you off by selling you hemp. We have more children entering rehab for marijuana than any other drugs combined. Yeah, because when you catch a kid with weed, you sentence them to rehab. Marijuana use has been linked to testicular cancer, schizophrenia, depression. No, no, and no. Marijuana smokers have less cancer risk. Schizophrenia rates have remained steady even as pot smoking has increased. And many people are using marijuana to treat depression. Well, the truth is you cannot test the percentage level for THC for driving behind the wheel. Wrong. Police test for active THC blood levels in every state in the United States. In fact, it's part of why people are complaining against 502 is because they are going to institute that. He goes on to say, ecstasy, cocaine, etc. A lot of these kids start off with smoking marijuana. Yeah, gateway theory. Yeah, and a lot of Hell's Angels started off on tricycles. 103 million people have tried pot, and there are only 350,000 current heroin users. It's not much of a gateway. And this is, of all the reefer madness, you know, you can understand these people sometimes being reefer mad, associating correlation with causation, but in some cases it's just complete historical ignorance. This is Paul Chabot saying, alcohol prohibition didn't outlaw all liquor, just the hard stuff. Now, Esquire notes that that is false because President Roosevelt's first act following the 21st Amendment was legalization of 3-2 beer. So, completely historically wrong. Now, that's one of the great marijuana prohibitionists of 2012. In the Esquire piece, John H. Richardson then profiles great prohibitionist number two, one of the most reefer mad pot smokers in America, known I-502 campaign director Steve Sarich. This medical marijuana industry flack believes such stoners against legalization tropes as, it will be the end of the Fourth Amendment. A police officer can file an affidavit that he believes you're stoned and he can take your blood. Which the police officer can do now. and Sarich fails to include also seeing any indication of impairment in that sentence. THC stays in your blood system for 30 days. Completely false. Inactive THC metabolites might stay in your system for 30 days, but active THC in blood is well below 5 nanograms hours after smoking. And one of the studies, you know, points this out. Dr. Aaron Karchner studied 25 heavy marijuana users who smoked an average of 12 out of 14 days before the study, who consumed anywhere between a few blunts to an ounce of marijuana every day. Then she observed them for a week as they abstained from marijuana. One out of the 25 had a reading of 7 nanograms on the first day. None, zero of the 25 had readings above 5 nanograms on day 2. No scientist has ever found greater than 5 nanograms THC in the bloodstream of someone who has abstained for a month. Steve Sarich is getting his facts from the department or right out of his ass. He continues to say, they're estimating, Washington government, they're estimating that over 10,000 people will be arrested and charged with per se DUID in the state of Washington in the first year. 10,000, really. There were about 37,000 DUIDs total in Washington state in the last year of data, and that includes alcohol DUIDs. In fact, out of all of the states that instituted per se DUID statutes, Indiana, and there's 13 of them, by the way, 13 states with per se DUID statutes that are zero tolerance in most cases, Indiana saw the greatest increase in DUIDs after the passage of their law. It went from 1 year to the next, went up by 6,574. That's the worst I could find in the historical record, 6,574. In a state with a greater population, I think Indiana's got a greater population than Washington state. We will consult the Google, but I think that's a fair guess. About the same, 6.5 million. Okay, about the same population as Washington state. Went up 6,574 DUIs. But this is a state that, unlike Washington state, hates marijuana, completely hates it. I know you people in Eastern Washington, you know, behind the Cascade Curtain, think, yeah, they hate marijuana in Eastern Washington. Try Indiana. 2, has zero tolerance for THC in blood. Not 5 nanograms, zero tolerance for THC in blood, Indiana has. 3, has zero tolerance for metabolites in urine. Unlike Washington, where that won't even be evidence anymore in Washington after 502, right? So this is Indiana going up 6,500 with hating marijuana, zero tolerance for blood, zero tolerance for metabolites in urine. And oh yeah, number 4, has roadside sobriety checkpoints, which is constitutionally illegal in the state of Washington. And then there's oftentimes an example cited by these people. They'll say, well, that's not a medical marijuana state. That's not medical marijuana. What about Nevada? In Nevada, they went up by 4,000. There's a 76% increase. It went up by 4,000. You know where they're getting that number from, folks? From data I compiled when I worked for Normal. I looked up all of the numbers of the FBI Uniform Crime Report for DUIDs in a state the year before a per se was passed and the year after a per se was passed. And indeed, those are the numbers. Before the per se went into effect in Nevada, it was 5,000 DUIDs. After it went into effect, it was 9,000 DUIDs. Indeed, that is an increase of 76%, except for one big problem with that data point. Only 3 law enforcement agencies reported their DUIs the year before in Nevada. 31 reported them the year after in Nevada. It's comparing apples and oranges. Another thing Sarich likes to say is, your taillight's out. I don't like the tint of your windows. You're driving while black. Cops will say, I smell pot. Yeah, they can do that now, man. There's more to cover in this, and I'll take it into hour 2. We'll extend the rant because it's so rant worthy. For those of you listening in hour 1 podcast, thanks for joining us. Thanks also to the VIP members whose donations keep this podcast free for everyone to listen to, as well as our YouTube video archives. For Brian the Red and Cannabis Curie, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers, and don't forget to vote.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dye it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dye it, you roll it, you smoke it.